Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroad Podcast today. We are so blessed that you're joining us. You know, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon him. And then there is a voice that came from heaven when God said in Mark 1, verse 11, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." We can also read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, where the Apostle Paul likens Christ to the head of the body. A body with no head is basically dead. And since Paul used the illustration of Christ as the head of the church, just like the head is in charge of the body, we then can liken the church as the body of Christ. So we, the Christians who make up the body of Christ, are one with Christ. So we can say we are the beloved church. Amen. I have the blessed privilege of having on our program today a man of God that's on fire, Pastor Steve Castle of the Beloved Church in Lena, Illinois, is our guest today. Steve and I attended JSMI, Jerry Savile Ministry Institute, Bible Institute, School of World Evangelism. We just shorten it to say JSMI, way back in the 1990s. Now, Steve was 1 year ahead of me, but we were still there at the same time, sitting under the teaching of Dr. Savile. Help me welcome to the program, good friend, Steve Castle. Steve, it is so good to talk to you again, my friend.
Man, I am super honored and blessed to be with you, Robert. And you actually got me, you got my gears turning on giving like kind of the intro of our beloved church, because I'm the pastor of Beloved Church. Our church was named out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul said, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved." And, you know, some of the core values of our church is about the grace of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, and about the fact that we are all in the body of Christ accepted in the beloved. And that terminology obviously shoots right back to the verse that you quoted out of Mark chapter 1, where the Father called Jesus Christ himself his beloved Son. So if you put that together, what this is saying is that as part of the body of Christ, you and I are in the beloved, who is Jesus Christ. We are part of the greatly accepted, the greatly loved church of God. Man, you fired me up on giving an intro about my own church. It makes me want to preach already.
Amen. Preach it, brother. I'm listening.
Amen. So that's where our church came from. We are accepted in the beloved. The Father loves us, accepts us, and gives us the same opportunity that he did give and is currently giving to the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of the church. And if we follow that instruction, we follow that leading, we follow the example of his life, and we follow the voice of his Spirit now today, we really honestly should have John 14:12 working in our lives, where the works that he did, we should be doing, and greater works than what he did, we should be doing. And that's something that we are really, really focused on at Beloved Church. We've seen the dead raised, we've seen cancers healed, we've seen blind eyes open and deaf ears open, but we have not seen anywhere near as much as I want to see. Yeah. So when it says the works that he do, shall you do in greater works, we're slowly, I don't want to confess that. We have done some of the works that Jesus has done. We have not done all the works, and we have definitely not done the greater works. So we are behind the eight ball. I would say the body of Christ as a whole is kind of behind the eight ball. But we're getting there. Praise God. We're getting there, Robert.
Another step every day. Another step every day.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Steve, I always start with this question first. Tell us in your own words, who is Steve Castle?
Steve Castle is honored to say that he is the husband of Kay Castle for the last 24 years.
Amen.
She was my original beloved until I had the revelation of who we were in Christ. I openly declare to the world, and everywhere I preach all over the world, I openly declare nearly everywhere I go that we have the greatest marriage on the planet. I've had some people argue with me, but they're wrong.
And they have the right to be wrong.
They have the right to be wrong. I don't debate with them. I just say, well, you're wrong. You know, God bless you. We have the greatest marriage on the planet. We've gone through some horrendous things, mostly self-inflicted by me. In our marriage, and because of that, we've actually come out probably stronger than most marriages could ever possibly be. I would also say that Steve Castle I know for a fact, my mom tells me all the time, my mom is a very committed member of Beloved Church, and she tells me all the time, literally all the time, that in the womb, that she had multiple prophetic occurrences about my life, about my future, about my destiny, that that called me into preaching about the love and the goodness of God even while I was in the womb. I was born dead, and I died five times, and God five times miraculously raised me from the dead. And the last time I was raised from the dead and supernaturally healed. My mom didn't even believe in all that stuff, but, you know, God did. You know, that's one of the cool things about God. Just because we don't believe doesn't mean he don't believe. So but anyway, God, on that fifth time, God raised me from the dead when I was a baby, an infant, and miraculously healed me. So anyway, I was born again when I was 5 years old and baptized in the Holy Spirit, 5 years old, five-year-old kid, you know, talking in tongues and freaking out my friends. my dad was in the ministry. It was kind of a cult. It started really good, but then, you know, just kind of the way that cults do, they kind of end up going a little bit sideways. And obviously when they start using the scriptures and God said, and this is what God wants, you know, it gets really, really confusing. when I was probably about 10 years old, I had really, really lost my desire to have a relationship with God, because I just figured, based upon the teachings of the cult that we were in, you know, God was angry, God was wrath, God wanted to kill you, God hated your sin, God by default hated you because you were a sinner. And so somewhere around 10 years old, which is kind of amazing that a 10-year-old kid be thinking about that, like, hey, I don't want to have a relationship with someone that basically just wants to kill me.
Yeah.
So, to make a long story short, from about 10 to 20, I started off ignoring God. And then at some point in there, I started hating God. And I told him so at one point. I think I was 16, 17 years old. I pointed my finger up to the sky and I said, look, I hate you. I know you hate me. You know, I've heard all the sermons about how much you hate me. So let's do a deal. I'll leave you alone. You leave me alone. I know you're going to kill me eventually. You know, but I kind of lived under the philosophy of Bon Jovi. I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory. So those 10 years, you know, from age 10 to 20, I basically, if you could drink it, I tried to drink it. If you could smoke it, I tried to smoke it. If it wore a skirt and you could chase it, I tried to chase it. And I just figured, you know, God was going to kill me anyway. So come and get me, you know, at least I'm going to be, you know, drunk in the bed with some woman when God comes to strike me with the lightning bolt that he's been waiting to throw at me all my life. Anyway, at 20, I had a radical, radical encounter with the truth. God bless Kenneth Copeland. My mom, basically force fed me a tape series. I know you remember what those are, Robert, tape series. Called The Covenant of Blood by Kenneth Copeland. And I heard on this tape series for the first time in my entire life, a God of covenant, a God of friendship, a God of love, a God of mercy, Hasid, a God of grace. And this was I had never had these thoughts in my life that I can remember probably since I was 5 years old, that God loved me, that God wanted to have a relationship with that. God actually desired to do that. And as Brother Copeland was going through this six tape series, it was doing all kinds of nuclear activity on the inside of me.
Amen.
Dude, I was mad. I was confused. I was hopeful. I was irritated. I mean, I can't tell you the gamut of emotions that was going on the inside and the different spiritual turnings that was taking place on the inside of me. Mm-hmm. I listened to this tape series basically nonstop for probably 2 weeks over and over and over, probably 10, 15, 20 times. And yeah. Finally, at the end of it, it was stirring so bad in me that I had to deal with it. So I pulled my car over. I live here in Northern Illinois. If anybody's listening to this and you're from Northern Illinois, I pulled my car over on the northbound side of Baileyville Blacktop, just past the railroad tracks north of Forreston. And in the gravel, I sat in the driver's seat, my 1978 Olds Delta 88, and sat there crying and shaking. Mm-hmm. And I pointed my finger up to God again. And I said, if what this redneck preacher, you know, I was a Yankee, you know, from Northern, what this redneck preacher is preaching on, if this is really, really true, then I'll serve you the rest of my life. Mm. But if this is just another guy that's trying to suck me and mom into another cult and try to get us for our money or, you know, whatever these people do for these crazy religious reasons, if that's what this is, then leave me the F alone. And that was literally my prayer, my quote unquote sinner's prayer was that if this is really who you are, and this is really your character and your nature, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. But if this is just another ploy by the enemy to try to get me into some cult, I said, leave me the F alone.
Yeah.
And I said, amen.
Amen.
And I sat there and I was waiting for either the lightning bolt, the car to explode, or who knows what. And I don't know how to explain it, but basically God came in my car. Mm. And it wasn't like physically in my car, you know, like there was a glory cloud or gold dust or any of that kind of funky right. stuff. He came into the car like he came into me. And on the inside of me, I think D.L. Moody called it like wave after wave of liquid love.
Yep. Amen.
The way that I can best explain it, it was literally like warm honey. And it started at the top of my head, but it was on the inside of me, not on the outside. It was on the inside of me. And it slowly moved down all the way to the bottom of my feet.
Yep.
And basically, I believe that, I mean, I don't believe in being born again, but for the most part, I can say that I was born again. Mm-hmm. And it flushed out of that warm honey, that love of God, that goodness of God, that grace of God, that mercy. I mean, I had cussed God out on multiple occasions. That mercy of God literally flushed out, that warm honey of his love literally flushed out all of the anger, all of the confusion, all of the lies of the enemy, all of myself. I was so self-centered and conceited and arrogant and prideful. I mean, it flushed everything out. And I don't know how long I sat on the side of Baileyville Blacktop. But whenever that was done, I can tell you that everything, I mean, it was such a radical encounter that literally everything in my life changed.
Yeah.
And I raced home and went to my live-in girlfriend, who was Kay Borgman at that time. And I said, you have got to listen to this tape set. And she said, a tape set? What in the world am I going to listen to a tape set for? I said, well, it's just preacher. And she goes, preacher? Why in the world would I listen? You know, we were just a couple of kids shacked up together, you know, chasing our, what the world said is you're supposed to be doing. And tape set, what should I listen to a preacher on a tape set? I said, I don't know, just do it for me. So anyway, long story short, she listened to it. And 2 weeks later had literally the exact same occurrence. She's sitting at our little tiny 2 foot long, you know, broken kitchen table. Cause she was 18. I was 20 years old. And we're sitting at this little broken kitchen table in our little pitiful apartment. And she said, what, this is what's going on the inside of me. And I've never heard this. And da, 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 da. She grew up Lutheran. So she didn't have a clue who God was. She didn't even care. And I said, I don't know. Here's what I prayed. And I told her my pitiful sinner's prayer where I cussed God out. She goes, well, I ain't saying that. I said, well, I'm not saying to say that. I'm just saying that's what I did. And then this is what happened. And so basically kind of led her in a sinner's prayer, and the exact same thing happened to her. She had a radical, radical encounter with the love of God, the grace of God, which just proves that God is no respecter of persons. If you come to him, you come to him humbly, and you come to him in truth, he'll do what his word promises that he'll do, you know, whether it was 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, or whether it was 2 minutes ago.
Amen.
And so here we are, a couple of kids shacked up together, radically born again. So in order to get it right, we eloped about 10 days later. We went and sat in the living room of a preacher friend in Rockford, Illinois. And this 85-year-old retired preacher couple married us in their living room. And the witnesses were me, Kay, and my mommy, and my stepdad, Jim. Right. And we got married in covenant. And we truly, we were born again listening to the covenant of blood. So Damn. We knew exactly what we were getting into in this marriage.
What's interesting is the how you described, you know, honey just flowing over you, but it wasn't over you, it was like in you. My testimony in my experience when I got born again is almost the same thing. I liken to the oil, you know, like warm oil flowing all over me. And and it's amazing how both of us remember exactly where we were at and what we said, you know. And you know, people have heard my testimony before, so I'm not going to go into it. But you know, I call up guys and say, I can't deal with this anymore. You know, I was on the verge of suicide and all that. I'm not dealing with it. I'm done. If you can do anything with my life, go ahead and take it. I'll be a preacher for you. I don't know, but I'm done. It's over. Right. And like I said, I read my scripture reading that night, even though I wasn't born again, at least I had somehow come to reading my grandfather's Bible on a nightly basis. And Psalms 34 was the scripture reading for that night.
Amen.
Down to verse 7, it said, the Lord has heard this poor man cry and shall deliver him from all his troubles. Just like that. I mean, I felt God that. Man, I started crying, laughing, speaking in tongues. And to tell people, I can take you to the exact empty apartment in Columbus, Georgia, where I was at, because I had nothing. I was just on the floor. And I know exactly what you're talking about. And
amen.
Amen.
So, now, so Kay and I,
right?
Yeah. Well, no, we, so Steve Castle was not the guy that you ever wanted your daughter to come in. I'd say that kind of jokingly, but I cannot tell you how sincere it was. Like, I was a mess. I was a wreck. It was so bad. I was such a bad person. I mean, character wise, action wise, any way you can define it. I was such a bad person that in our little community, I went to high school in Forreston, Illinois. In our little community, if something went wrong, if something got stolen, if something got vandalized, if something got, you know, if there was a problem, you know, overnight, literally the state police would knock on my front door first. And if I did not have an alibi, most likely I was the suspect. And my parents, I mean, they were just so bothered by the fact, you know, here's this guy, and I was renting the basement from my parents, so I had a little bit of autonomy. You know, I started renting from them like 15 years old. So I basically kind of did my own thing. And if it wasn't some form of self-satisfaction, you know, drunk or chasing women or, you know, getting money or whatever, I wasn't really that involved in it. And so the Kay avoided me, rightfully so, in high school, because that wasn't the kind of person that she was. But we ended up started working together right out of high school. We ended up working together in the same pizza place. And somehow she seen something in me that I don't even, it had to be a spiritual thing, because she seen something in me that I didn't know was really even in me. Obviously God knew, because he created me and he called me from the womb. And so she basically tolerated me at the pizza restaurant. And then, and shortly thereafter, after her tolerating me, we ended up kind of dating together and then being boyfriend and girlfriend. But then this radical encounter, I mean, we were only together literally just a few months. And then this radical, and on February 14th, on Valentine's Day, I asked her to go steady with me. I know you'll know what I'm talking about when I say go steady, Robert, but maybe some of the viewing audience may not understand what going steady is. But I asked her to go steady with me on February 14th, and we were married. We eloped on June 18th. Wow. So we were literally not that long. But when we eloped, I mean, now we did something eternal. It was one of the first eternal things that we had ever done besides commit our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And how did you do that, JSMI?
So we eloped, and so now here we are, and we didn't tell anybody. I mean, Kay's still going by her maiden name, and you know, we're secretly only putting our wedding rings on, you know, when nobody else is around, because just a lot of dynamics. You know, people wouldn't understand, and Kay's parents definitely wouldn't understand, you know, just, there was just a whole lot of things going on, and we just felt like it was kind of what we needed to do. Obviously, in retrospect, we can look back and decide whether that was a good or a bad decision. But what we thought as an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old kid, that's what we thought needed to happen.
Right.
So here we are chucking along as newlyweds, totally, completely on fire and committed to God. I mean, we are devouring everything we possibly can get our hands on, from Brother Copeland, from Brother Hagin, from Jerry Savelle, from Creflo Dollar, from, I mean, anything we can get our hands on, Charles Capps. We are literally going, and I'm talking going through some of these tape sets. Like I listened to Dr. Savelle preach on like the armor of God and stuff like that probably hundreds of times, because it was so powerful on the inside of me. Especially the things about the character and the nature of God, faith, serving as a believer, from Brother Copeland. We were just devouring these things, and we could not get enough. And every time Kay and I were together, we're sitting at this little kitchen table with this little tiny one speaker tape, recorder tape player. And we're sitting there, and we got our Bibles open and our notes out, and we're listening to somebody preach, and we're taking notes, and we're pausing it, and we're talking about it. We're just basically discipling ourselves.
Amen.
Yeah. And my mom comes along and says, "Hey, you know, these are the prophetic words over your life." And, you know, she told me about these things randomly over the course of my 10-year darkness, about these things, trying to inspire me to go for the things of God. But I ignored it, because I didn't want to hear any of that. I wanted to do my own thing.
Right.
And so she would tell me about these things now after this incredible encounter with God. And I'm like, I'm created to be a preacher. I'm created. God called me from the womb. He DNA'd me to be a preacher of God's goodness, of God's love, of God's grace. I'm like, man, I don't know how to do that. You know, and I'd study preachers' lives and see how they did it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just not as good as those guys. I'm going to need some formal training on this deal, but I am not going to seminary. Because I know what happens to folks when they go to seminary. They just get jacked up, and they come back and they preach theology. And I wanted to know theology, but I didn't want to preach theology. I wanted to preach the love of God, the power of God, the grace of God. And I'm like, man, I did not have that that call, that desire to go to Rhema. Basically, at that point, and this is all I know. And somebody might correct me, whatever, but. All I knew was you either went to Rhema or you kind of did what you did, which is what I was doing, was kind of discipling myself at the kitchen table. Well, you know, obviously Kay and I had partnered with everybody. We were partners with Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, and Jerry Savelle and all that. Well, we got an Adventure in Faith magazine from Dr. Savelle, and it said, "Hey, we're starting a Bible college," and da 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 da. And I'm like, that's it. And it just exploded on the inside of me that this is it. This is where I'm going to get the training for me to get rid of all the stupid Steve, so I can become Preacher Steve. And so I went to my wife, and we'd only been married, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3, 4 months. And I said, "Baby, we need to move to Texas, and I need to go to Bible college." And she said, "You have lost your mind. We are not moving to Texas. I mean, there is no reason whatsoever for us to move to Texas." We didn't know a soul in Texas. You know, all of our family was there. Everything that we knew, we had our jobs there. We were in, and we were, you know, God blessed us. We were both making great money. I mean, she was 18 years old back then. She was making like $22 an hour and full time. And this is in the 90s, you know, the 1995. Yeah. And, things are going well for us, and God is blessing us, and we're on a pretty good trajectory. And she's like, "Move to Texas. We don't know a soul in Texas. We don't know anything." I'm like, "We know Jerry Savelle." She's like, "You don't know them. You just listen to them." I'm like, "I almost feel like I know them." And she's like, "We are not moving to Texas." And I'm like, "Okay, baby." And I just went back to God. I said, "If you're calling me, you're going to have to work this out in Kay's heart, because I am not going to get into division with my wife or strife or contention over this thing." I said, "I'll just go preach on the street corner. I might make a mess," which, praise God, I would have. Anyway, long story short, about a year later, Kay just basically walked up to me. She goes, "I think you need to go to Bible college, and I think we need to move to Texas, and I know what you're called to do. I know exactly what God has said that is on the calling on your life. I know that you're going to reach multiple millions of people all over the world. And I am not going to be the person that's going to stop you from doing that just because I have a fear of moving out of northwestern Illinois and moving to Texas. And wow. I'm like, are you for real? And she's like, yep. Oh, man. So we decided to have a wedding a few months later. And so in June of 1997, we had a wedding. Obviously, we were already married, but we had a wedding for everybody to kind of make it official.
Right, right.
And then in August of 97, we moved to Texas, went to Jerry Savelle Ministries, just a couple of kids. You know, at that point, I think 20 and 22 is what we were. Didn't know a soul. We, back then, you know, there was no internet and all that kind of stuff. We rented an apartment via fax machine.
Hey everyone, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode, where I've been interviewing Pastor Steve Castle of the Beloved Church up in Illinois. Now, I've known Steve and his wife, Kay, since about 1998, 1999, when they were 1 year ahead of me at our Bible school in Crowley, Texas, JSMI, Jerry Savelle Ministries International. And I tell you, you cannot find someone more on fire for God. He impressed me back then, and we lost touch a little bit, but we've been catching up throughout this interview, just as you have been listening to. And guess what? This was just part one of what has turned into a four-part interview. And it just gets better. He's given you his background. He's given you what he's done business-wise, that the Lord has brought him through all these things in his training and his growth, both spiritually and in the natural. And now he's a pastor of a church and doing a ministry that is impacting people all around the world. Now, you need to go down below. Use the links down below to get in touch with him, because he he can definitely come out and inspire your church, inspire your leadership group, and that's what he does. He is a leadership coach for ministries. Now, go ahead and use the links down below. Get in touch with Steve, and I'll come back tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.